and thank you for standing by. At this time, again, all participants are in a listen-only mode. During our question and answer session, you can press star 1 on your touchtone phone and record your name when prompted if you'd like to ask a question. And again, this call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. And now I'd like to turn the call over to Ms. Ann Mangold. Ms. Mangold, you may begin.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining OSHA and the National Weather Service today as we discuss tips for preventing heat illness in outdoor workers. We'll hear from our three speakers first and then open it up to a Q&A. And at this time, I would like to turn the call over to Assistant Secretary for Occupational Safety and Health, Dr. David Michaels.
Hello. I'm Dr. David Michaels, as you heard. Thank you for joining this news conference, especially for meteorologists and weather reporters. In many parts of the country this week, you are already reporting extreme heat events. Here in Washington, D.C., even though the summer has not officially begun, we are already having record-breaking heat. Whenever there is high heat, outdoor workers are at increased risk for heat-related illnesses and death. Every year, dozens of workers are killed by heat, and thousands more experience heat-related illnesses. In 2012 alone, at least 31 workers died of heat-related illness, and more than 4,000 became sick. And this is no doubt an underestimate, since many heat-related deaths and illnesses are not recognized as caused by heat. Now, this is why the Department of Labor has launched a nationwide awareness campaign for the last 3 years to keep outdoor workers safe on the job. It's very important that we work together again this summer to get the word out that working in high heat can be deadly. Here's one example. On June 5th, 2013, just a year ago, 31-year-old Michael White collapsed on his third day loading garbage onto a disposal truck in Houston, Texas. He was working the hardest and heaviest route, requiring him to load 16 tons of garbage over a sweltering hot 10-hour day. He was not acclimatized to working in the heat, and his employers didn't ensure that workers were getting enough water, rest, and shade. The average heat index that day was 94 degrees Fahrenheit, according to the National Weather Service. For the last 5 hours of Michael's shift, it was 97 degrees Fahrenheit. At 4:53 p.m., when he finally collapsed, the heat index had reached its maximum, 99 degrees. Michael suffered heat stroke and was hospitalized and died 4 days later. Following an investigation into his death, OSHA issued citations to both his employer and the staffing agency that sent him to his employer for failing to protect Michael and his coworkers from heat. But no penalty will bring White back to his mother, his brother, or his 9-year-old daughter. But perhaps it will cause other employers to think twice before they try to dodge safety laws. OSHA wants to raise awareness about these preventable tragedies and provide resources so working in the heat doesn't become deadly. That's why we've joined forces with NOAA and all of you, and why we conduct our annual campaign to prevent heat illness. To prevent further fatalities, we're asking you to share our campaign's simple 3-word message: water, rest, shade. If outdoor workers are provided these precautions, it can mean the difference between life and death. Employers are responsible for providing workplaces that are safe from serious recognized hazards, including environmental heat. Heat is a serious hazard that affects workers in many industries. We found that workers who are most at risk for heat-related illnesses are those who are new to outdoor jobs, especially temporary workers, or those that have just returned from more than a week away. Workers are particularly at risk if the weather has just gotten hot and they have not been acclimatized to the heat. So our message to employers is straightforward. Provide workers with water, rest, and shade. Workers should drink water every 15 minutes, even if they're not thirsty. Rest in the shade to cool down, and wear a hat and light-colored clothing. Acclimatize new and returning workers to the heat by gradually increasing workload and providing additional breaks. Train workers about the symptoms of heat-related illnesses and their prevention, and monitor workers for signs of illness. Now, for the last few years, the National Weather Service has included worker safety information in all of its extreme heat alerts, and important worker safety information is now included in the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's HeatWatch page, We are so grateful to the National Weather Service and to NOAA for their partnership. So with me today is Vice Admiral Michael S. Devaney, NOAA's Deputy Undersecretary, who will tell us about the dangerous temperatures and weather trends that are expected this summer. Vice Admiral Devaney?
Thank you, David. At NOAA's National Weather Service, we're committed to building a weather-ready nation, a nation that's prepared, responsive, and resilient to the extremes of weather, like excessive heat. And the safety and well-being of the U.S. workforce from extreme weather is a very high priority. NOAA's successful partnership with OSHA has helped expand our reach and improve how we communicate the threat of excessive heat. Heat is a silent hazard. People working outside in the heat often don't recognize they're in trouble and hyperthermic until they actually need medical assistance. And sometimes, as you talked about, that comes too late. In fact, on average, in the United States, heat kills more people annually than floods, lightning, tornadoes, and hurricanes combined. And that's a very foreboding statistic since some major cities in the Southeast and Mid-Atlantic are experiencing their first major heat wave of the summer this week. Temperatures are already in the mid to upper 90s, and the summer is just getting started. Millions of people will be affected by the heat in the next 2 weeks, with above-normal temperatures likely to continue for both the western and eastern thirds of the mainland U.S., as well as in southern Alaska. Many of you are news meteorologists, and so you know the danger of excessive heat. But many of your viewers and followers do not. So please encourage your audience to heed heat warnings, and you may want to tell them that they can monitor the official heat advisories and warnings in their area on weather.gov. Every one of our heat advisories and warnings contains language targeted towards outdoor workers. These messages warn people to drink plenty of water, take frequent breaks in the shade or air conditioning, and wear light-colored, lightweight clothing. Your help highlighting this language to your audience this summer could save lives, especially when the heat reaches dangerous levels. I also want to point out the danger of leaving babies, small children, and pets in vehicles. More than 600 children have needlessly died since 1998 from being left unattended in hot vehicles, a preventable tragedy. So thanks for sharing these public safety messages with your viewers and helping us become a weather-ready nation. When more people take action based on our warnings, more lives will be saved. And it could be a long, hot summer for much of the country, so let's make sure that the public knows how to avoid heat-related illnesses. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you so much. Before we take your questions, this is David Michaels again. I'm going to take a moment to talk a little bit more about acclimatization, which is a concept that isn't as well understood outside of your circles. What we found, what OSHA has found from numerous inspections, is the risk of serious illness and death rises when the employer has no heat illness prevention program in place at all, or when there are major gaps, such as no program in place to allow workers to build up tolerance to heat, and we call that acclimatization. Seasonal workers can be considered new even if they've been working every season for the last several years. Gradually increasing the workload and giving workers time to acclimate allows them to build tolerance to the heat. This is critically important for workers who are new to working outdoors in the heat, who've been away from working in the heat for a week or more, or at the beginning of a heat wave. Workers need to get used to hot environments by gradually increasing exposure and taking frequent breaks for water and rest in the shade. Employers need to be particularly concerned about these workers, but all outdoor workers need water, rest, and shade. What we tell people is there are two important illnesses to watch out for. That's heat exhaustion and heat stroke. You know, heat exhaustion, which has symptoms of headache, nausea, dizziness, weakness, thirst, or heavy sweating, and that can turn quickly into heat stroke if immediate action is not taken. And heat stroke, as you know, is the most serious heat-related illness, requires immediate medical attention. And the symptoms can include confusion, fainting, seizures, very high body temperature, and hot, dry skin or profuse sweating. There are some visible signs of heat stroke: red, hot, dry skin, or excessive sweating, confusion, seizures, and fainting. However, in both of these cases, heat exhaustion or heat stroke, the affected person may not recognize the signs in themselves. So it's very important to look for signs in coworkers and companions. We educate workers to take heat exhaustion very seriously and to stop for first aid before it becomes heat stroke. What we recommend, if possible, is to set up a buddy system so workers help monitor signs and symptoms in coworkers. I'm going to take a break for the moment here and introduce you to Secretary of Labor Tom Perez.
Good afternoon, David. Thank you. And thank you to everyone for joining us to discuss heat illness prevention and outdoor workers. As we have in past years, the Department of Labor's Occupational Safety and Health Administration is pleased to join the National Weather Service to host this discussion for meteorologists and weather forecasters. These are the folks who are often the go-to source for life-saving information about when extreme heat and all types of severe weather will strike. As you know, excessive heat is the nation's number one weather-related killer, claiming an average of more than 1,500 lives in the U.S. each year. That's more deaths than are caused by tornadoes, hurricanes, floods, and lightning combined. Thousands of workers experience serious heat-related illnesses like heat exhaustion and heat stroke every year. Over the past decade, nearly 400 workers died and 25,000 became sick due to heat exposure on the job. Workers should never have to sacrifice their lives in order to bring home a paycheck, and that's why OSHA, for the fourth year in a row, is sponsoring its campaign to prevent heat illness in outdoor workers. And the campaign is about raising awareness, educating workers and employers about the dangers of working in hot weather, and providing resources and guidance to address those hazards. Workers in outdoor industries like agriculture, construction, landscaping, and transportation face an especially high risk, and employers are responsible for keeping those workers, as well as workers in all industries, safe on the job. The Department of Labor and OSHA are here to make sure that employers and workers know the steps they can take to prevent heat-related illness and death. Scheduling frequent water breaks, providing shade, and allowing ample time to rest. These are simple yet critical precautions that can help save workers' lives. Weather is a topic of universal interest. It affects decisions we make every day about what we wear, if we should bring an umbrella or a coat, even when or if we'll take vacation. Because it's the ultimate news you can use, meteorologists and weather forecasters are often people's first source of information each day. And that's why we're so excited to be with you today, because you really are the mouthpiece for this message. And it's a message of let's make sure we work together to spread important information so that we can prevent these deaths and make sure that people understand the dangers of working in extreme heat. So thank you so much for your time, and I will now throw it open, I believe, David, for any Q&A that people have.
Actually, before doing that, I just want to wrap up a little bit here. Thank you, Secretary.
Sure.
Just want to let you know that, you know, as you heard, we've been running this campaign for a few years. We've reached over 10 million workers and employers. We've done more than 4,000 training sessions and outreach events and distributed more than 500,000 posters, fact sheets, and other educational materials. But we have to do this year after year because this message needs to get reintroduced and repeated over and over again. To learn more about what we've done and to view our materials, including low literacy fact sheets, and we've got materials in English and Spanish, just go to our website, www.osha.gov. We've also worked very closely with the National Weather Service to develop a smartphone heat safety app. And this is an app that can help employers and workers monitor dangerous heat levels throughout the summer. What it does is it pulls data directly from NOAA, allowing the smartphone to calculate risk levels at the worksite based on the relative temperature. And it displays the protective measures needed to prevent heat-related illness. It's gotten downloaded more than 130,000 times, and we expect a lot more this summer. So as you heard from Secretary Perez and Admiral Devaney, we need your help. We'd like you to incorporate worker safety into your weather broadcasts. Often when reporting heat-related stories, you highlight those most at risk, and that's important, the elderly, young children, pets. But you'll be doing a vital public service if you also include outdoor workers in those. Remind them that they, too, are at risk, especially during heat waves. And we need your help to get the word out to employers that they're responsible. It's the law. They're responsible for providing work environments safe from excessive heat. So that means, as you've heard, we say it over and over again, regular breaks for workers so they can cool down, regular access to water so workers can stay hydrated, training workers for the signs and symptoms of heat illness and what to do if they see a coworker showing those signs, because they could save their lives. Anyone overcome by heat should be moved into the shade immediately, and 911 should be called because heat stroke is an emergency. It's my hope that with all of us working together, we can build a network of weather broadcasters, government agencies, and others who can respond quickly to extreme heat and get our message out to workers and employers across the nation when they need us most. And I don't have any doubt that by working together, we're going to save lives. So thank you for joining us, and we're happy to take some questions.
Thank you. At this time, we'll begin our question and answer session. For those dialed in, to ask a question, press star 1 and record your first and last name when prompted. To withdraw your question from the queue, press star 2. Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, press star 1 and record your name. One moment, please, for our first question. Our first question comes from Bruce Rolfson from Bloomberg BNA. Your line is open.
Hello, Secretary Michaels. I want to ask, what obligations do employers have to have people at work teams and sites in the field trained to recognize heat hazards and know how to deal with it? Because I guess quick reaction is one of the prime things to save somebody. If it gets to that point.
If you're an employer and you've got workers working outside in hot weather, we expect you to know about the signs of heat illness and to tell your workers these are the signs so they know what to do. And obviously, particularly importantly, to provide water, adequate breaks, and a shaded area to take to be able to get out of the sun in this hot weather.
Okay.
The training for recognizing heat illness is not complicated. This is a common sense thing that every American should know about who works in hot weather. We have great materials on the website. They're in English and Spanish. They're low literacy. They've been downloaded tens of thousands of times, and we encourage employers to get those and put them up, give them out. And we've gotten a very good response. Many, many employers are really happy to do that. No one wants workers to be hurt. No one wants heat to overcome workers.
Okay, thanks.
But just to wrap that up, what we tell employers now, and that's why we're doing this phone call, is now's the time to have a program to get this word out. Employers, they have programs around safety. They know they have to do this, and this is one component of every worker, of every employer safety program if you've got people working outside.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Irene Sons of Telemundo, Houston, Dallas. Your line is open.
Thank you very much. My question was just that, where can I find the information in Spanish, as we know, and as it was mentioned before, it is the number one killer in the U.S., and also we have to take notice that there's a lot of Hispanics working outside in several different aspects. So I think especially for my kind of market, it's very important to get the right recommendations. I was just going to ask you again, where can I find this information in Spanish so I can direct my viewers? Thank you for translating it.
Sure. No, we have it in English and Spanish at www.osha.gov. There's a big heat banner. If you click on it, and you can go to the English or the Spanish. In addition, our smartphone app is in English and Spanish.
Awesome. Great. Thank you.
A lot of workers have access to smartphones, and we highly recommend downloading it.
All right. Thank you.
Once again, to ask a question, press star 1 and record your name when prompted. And our next question comes from Mr. Christopher Cole of Inside OSHA. Your line is open.
Hi, Dr. Michaels. I was just wondering, do you happen to have any information on how many general degree cases have brought the initiative? And also, I was wondering what can be done to ensure that state plans are at least as effective in this area?
Last year, we issued 11 heat-related citations. Included, though, in several of those were multiple employers. In some cases, like the case of Michael White, we cited both the host employer and the staffing agency. We're particularly worried about temporary workers because they certainly, in many cases, they haven't had the opportunity to become acclimatized to heat. So they're sent to a job, particularly, for example, working on a garbage truck. And we had a couple of fatalities last summer of temporary workers who were exposed to heat in refuse collection. The state plans are doing this as well. We've had a lot of cooperation. This is happening all over the country. In fact, California has a workplace heat exposure standard. So they're certainly doing their part as well.
Thank you.
And our next question comes from Efren Afonte of WJTV Channel 12, Jackson, Mississippi. Your line is open.
Thank you very much for the conference. This is very beneficial. I just recently moved to the Jackson, Mississippi area from central Oklahoma, and we are in Jackson right now on the verge of a short heat wave. And in particular, the last 2 days, I've been wanting to drive the message to assure that the viewers really understand the message of how hot it is actually going to be and then coincide with the heat indices. And as an example, we had one forecasted city within our coverage area that potentially could have hit a 100-degree heat index today. The northern half of my viewing area was forecast to potentially hit 100-plus. So the biggest question I have is, when do you actually emphasize without crying wolf? Many people in Mississippi and in the Deep South already know that it's going to be hot. But the descriptions I've been using has been simply that the temperature is only 94, but this is what potentially it could feel like outside later today. And I believe once they see 100 marks as opposed to hearing it, it makes more of an impact. So what would be your suggestion to have viewers, whether they work outside or the general public, without making it over-sensitive?
Well, you know, on our smartphone app, we actually have different levels, and we try to do it not through, it relates to numbers, but we have a sort of green, yellow, red concept to make it very simple, where we say, okay, if it reaches this level, and obviously that's going to be the heat index level, taking into account the humidity, this is how often you have to drink. And you could actually go to our website and get all the different numbers on that. It'll say this is at what point you should be drinking every 15 minutes, etc. But really, once it gets hot, people should be taking these precautions because not everybody is affected the same way. You've got people who can certainly be able to do this work at a higher temperature than others. I mean, there are people who are not acclimated, who are, you know, perhaps carrying a little bit extra weight. We want to make sure that everybody's protected. So when we say when it gets hot, just take more breaks. Make sure you get some time in the shade. Get lots of liquids, but watch for those symptoms too. Because if you feel any of those symptoms, you're not having enough protection.
Do you have a particular verbiage that has been effective that encompasses all of the general public that could be affected either very easily or at a great length, a word or phrase that really drives an impact to the public?
I don't know about that. We have these charts with different colors, and you know it's both technical and non. So it'll say, you know, between the heat index is 91 to 103, these are the precautions you should implement, and then above that here are additional precautions to take. But even below 91, we think there are some basic heat safety activities. I don't know that we have one word. What we found effective, and this has been looked at in focus groups and evaluation, is we simply say the basic message is water, rest, shade. And people know about that. And they get that. We tell employers you've got to provide those liquids. You've got to provide the water. And this is really true for farm workers or people on construction sites. There has to be a source of water. You can't put people out there without water. And there has to be a way they can get some shade, and they have to have breaks.
Thank you very much.
And I show no questions at this time.
Well, I want to thank everybody on the call for helping us spread this message. It really does save lives.
If there are no further comments, that concludes today's conference. Excuse me, we actually do have one more question in the queue. Do you have time to take a question?
Yes, I do.
All right. Our next question comes from Mr. Philip Lucas of the Associated Press. Mr. Lucas, your line is open.
Hi, thanks for taking the question. I was wondering if air quality factors at all into some of the risks associated with heat stroke or heat exhaustion. And I also wanted to know if there are any recommendations for the maximum amount of hours that workers should be outside in extreme heat. I don't think that Georgia has any guidelines on that, but I wanted to see if there's sort of like a federal suggestion at all.
We don't have any formal suggestions on that letter piece, but we do have these different risk levels. So at the very, very high temperatures above when the heat index is greater than 115, we say just reschedule outdoor work. Don't don't go out there. But we don't have a clear line because it really is different for different people, and especially here before summers began, the acclimatization issue is a very big one. That you could have temperatures and relative temperatures that would be safe in August if people have worked outside for weeks that could be fatal early in the summer. And so we really want to make sure people know that now because they're not used to the hot weather.
All right, all right. And I also wanted to know if any sort of air quality factors are linked to some of the risks associated with any of these injuries or deaths.
Perhaps the folks from the National Weather Service have some thoughts on this.
Yes, Dr. Michaels. This is Eli Jacks from the National Weather Service. We actually have a partnership with EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, where they utilize our information to drive alerts that they provide, such as code yellow, code orange, code red alerts. So those would appear on our main website at weather.gov. In addition, I could take the opportunity in response to some of the other questions that we do issue excessive heat watches, advisories, and warnings. The watches are issued when excessive heat is expected within, say, 42 to 72 hours. And then the advisory is issued when heat indices in many parts of the country reach about 105, and the excessive heat warning is reserved for those worst days when it's at 110. But as Dr. Michaels has said, even below these values, even at heat indices in the upper 90s, precautions need to be taken. But in answer to that question with regard to air quality, we do have a partnership with EPA separately to message air quality.
All right, thank you.
Are there any other questions at this time?
I show no further questions at this time.
Okay. Well, if there are no further questions, then we will go ahead and wrap up, and we thank you all for joining us this afternoon.
Okay, thank you very much.
That concludes today's conference. All participants may now disconnect.